We're talking with Tracy Splinder.
That's me.
Our second guest at Absolute Poetry for this year, 2007. And Tracy, in your works, I've noticed that there's a great freedom with your words, that many like small tangents are brought in into the written work that I've read, just from the sound of the words and from the way they may rhyme with other words, and their meanings are at the same time very personal, but also like of an open meaning to the listener, to anyone. How do you achieve such this freedom in your writing, and does it have to do with your speaking more languages and your having
definitely
very open roots?
Yeah, definitely. I know the reason why I love to live in foreign countries, in non-Anglophone countries, is because the foreign language enriches my own language, my mother tongue, which is English. And I learn to dream and to think in the foreign language. And sometimes the sounds of the foreign language is incorporated into my native tongue. And when I'm thinking poetically or creatively, it's like words start to grow from other words. Mm-hmm. They start running. I don't have a control out of them. It starts maybe with one word, and then it multiplies basically and becomes one picture, becomes more pictures, and those pictures become more pictures. And sometimes, or most of the time, it begins with a simple sound or with one simple word that mutates, bends, moves entirely, and that's how the language basically flows. It's what I refer to as flow. It also flows through me. Mm. It's like a verbal diarrhea. You know what diarrhea is?
Of course. Mm-hmm. It all comes out.
Yeah. And when I listen to foreign languages that I do not understand, for example, I went to North Africa once and I fell in love with the sound of the Arabic tongue because I found it very sensual. This is what attracts me to language, the sensuality, the intonation, the sing-song effect of the language, or the German language I lived in and studied in for more than a decade, the hardness of the language, like chewing a piece of bread, or Danish, for example, a language I do not understand but I've listened to very often, reminds me of a certain instrument that doesn't exist, like a money box with lots of coins in it. Foreign languages, they trigger my own language, and they also trigger my poetic thought. I write mainly in English, but the influence is foreign, totally.
I see. So since you have this way, this very creative way of using language, how does body language relate to this? In your performance works, I've seen that there's a great use of body language, of sensuality. How does it relate on the written page, and how does it relate in how you think in your works?
I believe that it's one and the same thing for me. When I'm reciting my poetry, in that moment, I am not reciting a poem. I am my poem. Yes. The poem is moving through me and becoming me, and the way my hands move or my eyes move is triggered by the words. Basically, it's a universal language, body language basically. I don't practice to do this or to do that when I'm doing the performance. It just happens. But I believe for me it's one and the same thing. And because language is alive, right? I don't like static language. When the poem is on the page, it appears to be static. But when you use animation, for example, or just play around with different fonts, or change the size of the letters, make them smaller and bigger, all of a sudden the language starts to live. And what I want to do is, I want to take the language off the page and onto the stage and make it alive, animate it completely.
Yes, to give it its own life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you were saying before that you were born in Cape Town, you work in Hamburg, you're living in Spain now.
Yes.
So how does moving around the globe enhance your creativity?
The moving around thing has become a part of my existence. It's not something that I have decided upon. It just occurred. And to be very honest, I cannot stay in one place for very long. I am hungry for new experience. And when I say new experience, I mean new cultural experience. And the minute I am in a new cultural situation, I'm like an animal. I consume whatever I can. I don't only mean physically consuming, like if I am in Italy, I want to try the different types of foods and the wine, and I want to know about the music and the poetry and the art. But I also consume the weather. I consume the mentality of the people, the way the women move, the way the men communicate, everything. And then when I've had enough of that, the next trip. And to be honest, the only time I really feel alive is when I'm moving. The minute I'm stationary, I start getting nervous. I need to travel. It's just part of who I am, and it makes me very happy just being on a train, being on a bus, being on a bicycle, knowing something new is coming, something next is coming. Even though I don't go out in the streets to look for new experiences, just the fact that I'm in a new place already makes me aware of how big and how small the world is becoming at the same time, because I'm putting myself into contact with them. And I think I'm going to be moving around for the rest of my life. There are many places I still want to go to and many languages I still want to come into contact with. Not necessarily maybe learn to speak, but to read or to listen to. I've got lots of plans. I don't know how long I'm going to stay in Spain. Before I moved to Spain, I was in the Caribbean, but I lived on a ship. So I was learning about new places, but also about the ocean. And for 2 years, the ocean had a new lesson to teach me every day. I'm not finished with the ocean, because where I live right now, I have a view of the Mediterranean. Water is also very important to me, because for me, it's a synonym for life. It's constant and it's always changing. But it's always the same water. Today it's flat, tomorrow there are slight waves, the next day it's really, you know, and it's always the same body of water, but there's new energies moving through that every day. And I need to come into contact with that movement in my life. If I do not, then I feel like I'm dying, basically.
I'm
not living.
Yes. This, I think, explains also why your poems, even if they're blocked in a written word, they're still mutating, they're still changing
right.
Every time, like you were saying now.
I see also literature and writing and language as a living organism, and being multicultural, having multicultural roots and parents, having lived in many different cities in the world, and in the countryside, having come into contact with many different nationalities, you learn about a common language, which is the language of emotion for me, that everybody speaks, even though you might not understand each other in the spoken language, a touch, a look. And this is what I want to communicate every time I bring the poem. Tonight, I think most of the audience are going to be Italian, and perhaps many of them do not speak fluent English. So what I want to do is, with the sound of my voice, with the movements of my hands, with the way my eyes are going to move, I'm going to communicate the meaning of my poem, even though they might not know what the poem is all about. When I'm finished, they will feel it.
Yes.
And that makes it even more special.
It's a universal language.
Yeah.
It's like the language of animals.
Yes. Yeah. And I've had instances where people have said to me, I didn't understand every word, but I knew what it was about.
Yes.
And that's brilliant for me. That means that if I've even reached one person in an audience of 800, that was a successful recitation.
Yeah. Cool. What, besides the language, besides literature itself, what other forms of art inspire your works?
I started dancing with the age of 3. I wanted to be a prima ballerina. I stopped my dance career with the age of 16 because I broke both my ankles. I I went on to points. I don't know if you know anything about classical ballet. When I was 13, which was very, very young, and my legs weren't strong enough. So a whole dream went to pot, basically. But I had a big influence of classical music, particularly Stravinsky, Tchaikovsky, Debussy, Chopin, and lots of classical ballet music. And then the ballet, which is a very, very specific form of communication. I mean, it's like opera. It's in a whole language on its own. So I think the ballet influenced me greatly. Then I played the piano for almost 9 years, which I don't play anymore. So I learned to read music and to understand how music works. So I think dance and music and theatre, I've played lots of theatre, and mostly Shakespeare, because I love Shakespeare. The arts has always been important to me. I also used to sketch, and mostly faces, because faces interest me. People, eyes, lips, nose. The chins, or hands, the shape of the head. So I believe all these arts are, they have the same source. They have the same source of inspiration. It's the same soul.
It also goes to the same places. It doesn't just go to the eyes, it doesn't just go to the ears, it goes to the whole person.
Right. For literature, musicality is very important to me. Not only rhyme, but inner rhythm. Or the way the words don't rhyme with each other, but singular letters correspond. The shape of certain poems sometimes, just the physical shape on the page, like conceptual poetry. Interpretations of spoken pieces in dance. So choreographies of a play where there's usually that was written down, and then the performance is, there's no language, it's just the body that's speaking. Musical instruments, my favorite are the bass and the cello. The bass, I find, is a very sexy instrument, and I also like the shape of the bass. It's shaped like a woman's body, and for me that's the most beautiful form. And the cello, which is very, very melancholic. And those are the two sentiments I love best. Melancholy, which is a sweet, sweet sadness. And sex, rhythm, beat, something that hits you here.
That goes to the lower parts of the body.
But things that influence me, food, smells, touches. I love trees. I like to touch the trees, the bark of a tree. A certain light. I have many sources of inspiration, and they all flow into the work, and a lot has to do with dance and music also. For me, the poetry is the dance of words. Yeah, I'm not going to dance tonight, but you will see the poem move through me. You will see it, and I feel it. I feel, and it liberates me in that moment. And then it goes towards the audience, and it's a gift.
Okay, that's it.
You're free to go now. Thank you very much.